Morning, church. So every now and again, you have readings. When you do readings and you think, yeah, this is great, but this is really good, right? This is going to be Matthew 6, chapter 6, from verse 5 to 15 inclusive. And it's on page 970. Of your church Bibles. I would encourage you to pick that one up, open it and look for it, not just your phones. So this again, it's chapter 6 of Matthew, verse 5 down to 15. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of the many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. This is the word of the Lord.
Morning, by the way. I'm Jenny. If I've not met you before, I'm one of the people who's got the privilege of serving him. Stick around afterwards, come and say hello. I'd love to meet you. But for now, chat to the person next to you for just a minute about... who taught you to pray? Who taught you to pray? Maybe no one. Maybe you just sort of learned, or maybe you've never prayed. In which case, share that. Chat to the person next to you. Who taught you to pray? Alrighty. You can draw those conversations to a close. You can continue them over coffee after the service. What a gift these people gave us, huh? What a gift the people gave us who introduced us to the truth that God is not just real, but present. God is not just in theory, but he's a God who hears. He's a God who's alive and responds. What a gift these people gave us that they taught us that when we draw close to him, he draws close to us. They invited us into the true heart, the living heart of who God is. Praise God. We should let's remember to pray for them. And if they were Sunday school teachers, if they were teachers, if they were parents, let's be praying for these people today. Those who are teaching children over in the groups right now, teaching them how to pray. Those who are parenting or taking on the roles of parents in our society in any way. Let's pray for these people, because this is a massive gift that people are being given. And maybe some of you feel like you didn't have a person teaching you. Now is a chance to fix that. With the same person that you were just speaking to, if you were teaching someone to pray today, what would be your first piece of advice to them? Again, share with the person next to you. If you were teaching a person to pray, what would your first piece of advice be to them? You can pause as you think. Okay, again, I'm going to draw your conversations to at least a pause, and then you can continue these afterwards. This is gold, folks. We are a community of prayers, and we learn better who God is when we're experiencing him in community. So let's continue these conversations. You can chat over the weather over coffee, but you can chat about prayer over coffee. What a great thing to continue these prayers, leaning in to one another's experience of how we pray to our Heavenly Father. We're diving in this week, the week after Pentecost, last week, you'll remember we explored how the Holy Spirit came on the gathered people of God. And 3,000 people came to faith on that one day. And what did this brand new baby church do? The four things that the book of Acts says that this brand new group of Christians devoted themselves to: the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayer. Those are the four things this brand new baby church devoted themselves to. So to sustain the full life that we're given in the Holy Spirit, the full life of Jesus, prayer is part of what sustains us in it, part of the gift that we've been given, simply a relationship with the one who created us, the one who created us in all things, God Almighty. And the beautiful thing is that because God is eternal, prayer is always something that we can get more of. I don't think there's any of us that can tick the box and say, I think I've learned prayer now. I think I've got it. I think there's always more for all of us to learn. In the Gospel of Luke, where we see Jesus also teaching this prayer that we've heard today, we hear the disciples ask, "Lord, teach us to pray." And what I like about Jesus' response is that he doesn't roll his eyes and go, "I can't believe you're asking me how to pray. Why don't you know that already?" He's not shy in other places about saying, "Oh, you're so faithless." But in this response, he's more than glad to lean into that question, "Lord, teach us to pray." So being a prayer learner, having L plates on, is all good. It's part of being a disciple. So let's put our L plates on. And it's going to be a bit practical today. There'll be some sort of ideas and suggestions. And some of you might feel like, I've got this covered. My prayer life is pretty good. Great. Share that with another person. Some of us might feel we need a bit of a reboot. Again, that's all good. We can all have L plates on, and hopefully we'll pick up something together. I definitely don't have this all taped. So it's really good for us to be in community about this. What helps you in your prayer life? Maybe there are books or ideas or things that you do. Share them with one another. This is really good for us to learn together. And why did the disciples ask Jesus how he prayed? Because they saw in him a man who had living being a human being perfectly, a man who lived human life perfectly. They saw a man totally alive in the spirit and in his relationships with God and humanity. They saw a human life unencumbered by selfishness or fear, unrestricted by pride, and they saw that this truly, fully human life was rooted and ordered in prayer. So they said, "We want a piece of that. We want to see that. We want that. How can we get that, Lord? How can we learn how to pray from you?" Jesus' prayer makes us more fully human. There's a Chinese pastor called Watchman Nee that some of you will have heard of, who was imprisoned for his faith, and he said this: "Our prayers lay the track down on which God's power can come. Like a mighty locomotive, his power is irresistible, but it cannot reach us without rails." I'll say that again. Our prayers lay the track down on which God's power can come. Like a mighty locomotive, his power is irresistible, but it cannot reach us without rails. So Jesus' prayer lays down the track for God's work in our lives, both the instant freeing work of the Holy Spirit, as God will sometimes free us in an instant from something that has chained us, will sometimes heal us in an instant from something that has held us back. But God's work will also work patiently and powerfully and transformatively with us through the days and months and years. And both of these manifestations of God's power are enabled by our laying the track down in prayer. So let's learn Jesus' language in prayer. And I'm ripping off Pete Gregg's very helpful summary of this passage and of some great tips for prayer. With these three things: keep it real, keep it simple, and keep it up. Keep it real, keep it simple, keep it up. And you'll notice that as well as Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray, he's also teaching them how not to. In fact, twice he says, "Don't pray like this, don't pray like this." So we might have to unlearn some things as well. This is about keeping it real. Our culture trains us in prayer. You might think, really? How does that happen? I'll give you a couple of examples. A friend of mine said the other day that she wrote a letter on paper, wrote an address on the front, put a stamp on the envelope, put it on her desk to go and post in the postbox later. Half an hour later, she found herself checking her phone to see if that person had responded, who she'd literally written a letter to and had beside her on the desk. She'd been trained by culture, as we all are, for that kind of certain way of communicating. I put my order in and a response comes back. Amazon Prime if I need it really quickly. I'm the customer, what I put in, what I say goes. So there is a kind of a training going on in communication. And as we sit at Jesus' feet asking us how to pray, he asks us to unlearn some things. Here's the first one. His first, don't pray like this. He says, don't pray like hypocrites. Literally, that means don't pray like people who wear masks. So good old social media. I love Instagram, but one of the things it trains me in is that there's no photo that can't be tweaked with a nice filter. Today could look like a beautiful day. The sky could look beautifully sunny with a nice Instagram filter. There's nothing necessarily wrong with this, but let's at least be aware that it's training us. It's a way of communicating. And let's ensure that our first language, our mother tongue, is Jesus' language. Well, there are so many other languages around us in culture. Let's make up sure our first tongue is Jesus's. So don't pray like mask wearers. Prayer is not a filter putters on. Prayer is not a performance before humans or before God, Jesus says. First of all, you're not performing, Jesus says, to human beings as you pray. If you do, you've kind of forgotten who you're praying to. If you're seen by humans as you pray, you might get a reward, but it will be pretty limited. You might get some impressed nods. Oh yeah, very godly, very godly. You might even get an encouraging comment. You're very passionate in your prayers. Human pedestals are very easily pushed over. So Jesus says, you know, if you get any reward, it's completed already. It's over the minute that somebody sees you. Don't pray for humans to be impressed. Pray to the one who knows you fully and loves you anyway. So on a practical note, this will mean some time praying alone. So this is one practical thing for a prayer reboot, and it might be second nature to all of us. Are we finding time to pray alone? For some introverts, that is a welcome relief to hear that. For some extroverts, it's a nightmare. For some busy people, it's a real challenge. How can I find 5 minutes by myself? But Jesus is suggesting that it's an essential part of a sustained, growing Christian life. It can't be substituted. Go into your room, Jesus says. Close the door and pray to your Father. So honest, masks-off prayer involves a personal prayer life. And if this is hard for you right now, this isn't a moment for guilt, but it's a moment for a reboot. Jesus isn't rolling his eyes at you. He's longing for you to have the revelation of Father love that you can only have when your mask comes off and you're alone and you're real before God. As I say, for many of us, I feel like this is something that will be natural to us. But if there's just one or two people who need to hear this invitation, Jesus is longing for you to have a revelation of Father love, and you can only have that if you're alone and real before the Father, the Heavenly Father. So have some time alone with God. This looks different for everybody, and it looks really different in different seasons. It may well not be a literal room that you can go to. It may well not be a half-hour quiet time at 6:30 a.m. for everybody. But what does it make to take sure, what does it take to make sure that you've got some alone time with God, even if it's 5 minutes in the loo during your day? For those whose lives are busy, maybe those who are parenting alone or have got caring responsibilities, this can be hard. So we need to be on board with this as a community. We need to be supporting those friends, spouses, housemates, small groups, prayer partners. We need to care that these people who are in our lives also have time to spend with God alone. So, first of all, you're not performing to humans as you pray, so spend some time alone with God. But also, don't put a mask on in front of God. In the image that Jesus conjures up, the door to the prayer space is closed, so there's a place for unashamed honesty. It could be a dance of joy. It could be tears of frustration. It could be a fist waving of annoyance. Your Father's reward, and Jesus does use the language of reward here, you'll be rewarded. The reward is to meet our Father God and to meet him where you really are. God meets us there. Spending time honestly in the company of Jesus is our privilege and our hope. Our hope. He's our truest friend, our wisest counselor. He's a strengthener, he's an encourager, he's a challenger sometimes. He sees our best selves and he sees our worst selves and he loves us through them both. What a privilege it is to call Jesus friend. So to settle into his company with a mask off, without heels or tie or whatever it is that you might wear during the day, this is grace and it's peace and it's praise. Here's a model, a practical model that one church suggests for masks off prayer. They say this: we encourage our community to write out and memorize a simple prayer for particular situations where they're struggling. This example will tell what I mean. Each simple prayer has got three elements to it. First, an honest confession of reality. Secondly, a Jesus-centered reframing. And thirdly, a request to God for help. For example, if a student regularly struggles with jealousy after spending time on Instagram, their simple prayer might be, God, I'm jealous because I want the lives that my friends have. I'm your masterpiece created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Help me to want the life you have for me. Let me give a few other examples. An honest confession, masks off confession of reality. I got into an argument with a colleague again. I'm worried about tomorrow. I'm fearful of what happens a year from now. Followed by a Jesus-centered reframing. In Christ, I'm a new creation. This colleague and I are both created in your image. You said that you'll be with me in the valleys as well as on the mountains. And followed by a request for help. I need your Holy Spirit to help me choose wise words. I need your Holy Spirit to love this person. I need your Holy Spirit to give me faith and courage. So there's one model of masks off prayer. So first thing, keep it real. Second thing, keep it simple. So Jesus' second don't pray like advice or command is don't pray like the pagans. Now, pagan was just a word for people who didn't believe in Yahweh. It was quite possibly, in this case, a group of people who believed in a pantheon of Roman gods, a selection of Roman gods. What does prayer to a collection of Roman gods look like? A collection of Roman gods with a variety of bad tempers and different likes and dislikes and different moods and relationships between them. It looks insecure. That's what Jesus perceived in this kind of pagan prayer. He perceived a piling up of words in a kind of a just-in-case way, looking for the right formula that would unlock the mood of the right God at the right time. So to replace insecure prayer, to replace that kind of piling up words prayer, Jesus says, remember who you're praying to. Remember who you're praying to. Start there, Jesus says. Prayer starts with Father. It doesn't start with a list of Roman gods that you have to just find the right one for the right day. It doesn't start with an automated compliments and complaints line. It doesn't start with an Amazon Prime delivery text. Prayer starts with a Father. As Jonathan said, on this Father's Day, we give thanks for any examples, good human examples of fatherhood that we might have had. Not all of us have received those, and we pray for those for whom this day is hard for any reason. But we remember that the best human father in the world is nothing compared to our Heavenly Father. So it's good to start our prayers filling our minds with the one who we're praying to. Remind ourselves out loud, as we did in the song earlier on, reminding ourselves out loud who he is: Father, Saviour, Lord, Friend, Creator. Again, a model of prayer for our reboot today is we can fill our minds with who God is by going to the scripture and by praying with the Bible. Just one example that I've put up on a slide as an example of praying with scripture. For example, praying with Psalm 23. I didn't know we were going to be singing it, but it's a good one. We can pray with Psalm 23. Allow those words and that imagery of God as our Father to lead our prayers. Lord, you're our shepherd. You're my shepherd. You feed me. You provide for me. You guide me. Thank you for the ways in which you fed me today. Thank you for the ways in which you've guided me. Thank you for the times that I've had to stop and be still and lie down in green pastures today. Do you see what I mean? You can use that prayer to kind of guide your prayers. Another example. So keep it real, keep it simple, and keep it up. So Jesus describes an intentional and persistent practice of prayer, not something that happens by accident. He says, go to your room, close the door, maybe put a timer on your phone. That can be really helpful. Lay distraction aside. And we see Jesus expecting that this would be daily. Give us today our daily bread. Jesus would have prayed in a Jewish prayer pattern, which had as its rhythm a morning and a midday and an evening prayer. Maybe none of them very, very long, but all of them with a regular pattern of breathing your day in, breathing in throughout your day in God. Some people I know find it helpful to have a reminder on their phone popping up at midday to pray the Lord's Prayer. Again, different shapes and seasons of life will mean that this rhythm looks different for each one of us. But this is an invitation to not just the heart, but kind of the lungs of God, the lungs of the Father God, who gives us this rhythmic breathing in of who he is. What will our sharing in that breathing look like? Maybe to just have in our mind that Jesus model of morning, midday and evening, and to work out what that looks like in our lives. It's good to have that as an idea before us. Many of us will have a morning and evening practice of prayer. And another idea to throw in if you're up for a reboot is a model of prayer called the Examine. This might be something that many of you already know about, but the Examine was a practice of prayer that Ignatius initiated in his community, the Ignatian practice. And he said he was a pretty expert prayer. And he said, if you do nothing else, if you're too busy to do any other kind of prayer, don't lose this one. This was his kind of go-to. Keep the Examine in your day. And the idea of the Examine is that at the end of your day, you, with the Holy Spirit, revisit your day, run through it in your mind and in your heart and in your soul with God, give thanks for what was good in it, repent for where you wandered away from God, and with him ask for his Holy Spirit to strengthen you for the day ahead. Again, this is a Pete Gregg reminder. This is the way that he remembers it. Recall that God is with you as you pray, and recall each moment of your day. Rejoice wherever God's blessings become evident as you recall. Repent wherever bad patterns, sinful patterns or attitudes become clear. And reboot. How can I be more like Jesus in the day ahead? It's a really practical, helpful reminder. And if it helps to have something on your phone, there's an app called Pray As You Go, which has got an Examine on you, which kind of talks you through the Examine, something that that I've sometimes found useful, and I know that others have found it useful as well. James K.A. Smith says, "We're creatures of habit. God knows this since he created us, and thus our gracious, redeeming God meets us where we are by giving us spirit-empowered, heart-calibrating, habit-forming practices to retrain our loves. This is the means of the Spirit's transformation." And one of this is an intentional habit of prayer. And Jesus gives us a structure by which we can form this habit, by which we can shape our lives after Christ. It's not Jesus straitjacketing our prayers. It's him giving us a recipe. When I say to my dad, Dad's a great cook, and when I say to him, that was a really lovely soup, Dad. What did you put in it? He'll always give me the same recipe. Oh, a bit of this and a bit of that. It's funny because he gives me the very same recipe for salad dressing or for like muesli. Bit of this, bit of that is my dad's standard recipe for everything. With all due love and respect, I need a bit more detail than that. And Jesus is rather more helpful than my dad in this scenario. He doesn't just say, oh yeah, prayer is just like a bit of this and a bit of that. He gives us a structure. And like all good recipes, we can follow it exactly and trust it. And it allows space for us to kind of get to know our own taste buds for ourselves and to lean into it in different days and different seasons. There will be times, like a recipe in a recipe book, there will be times when we are stuck, when our prayer lives are stuck. Maybe one or two of you are in that place now. Maybe you've never experienced that, but maybe you will. And this is something to store up. When we get stuck, or when we get stressed, or when we don't know where to start, sometimes we can just follow the recipe exactly and know that Jesus has given it to us, and he's given it to us for a reward of meeting with our Father. So if you're in a slump, don't worry. If you're in a prayer slump, take Jesus' advice, take Jesus' words, and lean into this. So this is maybe something that you can do in your own time if you are in a slump or you want to kind of reboot your prayer life with God. The structure, the recipe, give us the elements that will form part of a healthy prayer life. I've noted some things, but it's really worth your time in prayer to spot some things yourself in this prayer that are part of your healthy prayer life. It's God-directed again and again and again. engaging our heart in relationship with him, our Father, engaging our soul in worship of him, hallowed be your name, engaging our mind and strength, our will and our thoughts and our hopes to submit them to him. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus-shaped prayer involves our hearts and our souls and our minds and our strength. Give us today our daily bread. Jesus-shaped prayer will remember who is the giver of all that's good, and we'll remember that Jesus is as interested in the practical things of our life as he is interested in what feels like more spiritual things. The one who is born on this earth knows the practical human needs. So Jesus' prayer will bring to him practical, everyday needs, whether they're big or whether they're small. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Jesus-shaped prayer is utterly dependent on his grace, on his forgiveness, his unearned favor and his goodness, and it grows us in grace. It will enable us to pray for hard things, including for the strength to forgive. Nathan here preached a great sermon about this in the evening service a couple of months ago. Do have a listen to it online if you can find it. And it was on our website. It was a cracker of a sermon. And his repeated phrase was this: what do we do with impossible things? We pray them. If it's impossible to forgive, what do we do with impossible things? We pray them. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Jesus-shaped language trusts God's authority. You have the authority. You have the victory. Deliver me. So Jesus can be the one who teaches us all to pray. This is his gift to us, that he invites us into a living relationship, a living relationship. And he gives us this endlessly flexible and helpful recipe to invite us into a prayer life. So we're going to pray really slow with it. We did this in staff worship the other day. We're going to pray with this really slowly now, as it were a recipe. We're going to pray through one phrase at a time, and I'll just leave a really long pause in between each of the phrases, the clauses of this prayer, and invite you to, to go with what the Holy Spirit does as you pray that. So as we pray our Father in heaven, maybe you just want to thank God for that fatherhood. Maybe you want to remember who he is in heaven with all the power and the majesty that is. When we pray our daily bread, maybe there are some practical things you want to use. You want to use that space to bring to God. Give me something that feeds me. Give me something that will sustain me today, or to pray for somebody else. We're going to pray through it really slowly and allow God to teach us to pray even as we do that. Shall we pray together? Each of these clauses, I'll say them once and then repeat them, and then we'll have a period of silence to allow us to pray within them. Our Father in heaven, our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen. So I pray that God has met us. Well, I know that he does. He meets us when we pray to him. And maybe there are parts of that prayer which spoke to you particularly, or you felt were an opportunity to come to God with a particular particular truth for your life at the moment. I was thinking particularly that when we were praying, that when we were praying, "Thy your will be done on earth as it in heaven," it might be for some of us that that's a really hard prayer in this season. Some of us are thinking there is a will of God to be done, and it's tricky for me. So if that's you, maybe that's something you just want to come alongside somebody to pray with. We can pray with others as well as we pray alone. We're going to continue in prayer now as we sing. Are we going to sing? Yeah, we're going to sing Pray, which is another way that we pray the Lord's Prayer. We're going to pray together as we worship and sing. If you want to stand alongside somebody to pray with them, the prayer ministry team will be to my left, your right. If you want to ask somebody to pray with about anything that's come up for you or anything that you've arrived at this house of prayer today with, then do come to the side and somebody will be more than pleased to pray with you.